You are live with Get Connected. Mike Agarbo here. I've got my good friend Carmi Levy joining me from Toronto today. Thanks for coming on in, Carmi.
To be here with you, Mike. We'll thaw out a little bit and do some cool radio.
It has been a cold week in Vancouver. We got a huge dump of snow and everyone's losing their minds and driving into snowbanks, but we'll persevere. A lot to talk about on today's program. We are Canada's number one tech radio show. We'll be doing a little bit of a final CES roundup and some of the things that kind of caught your attention, Carmi. But I want to start off the program talking about Samsung. They had their big launch event this week. They call it Samsung Galaxy Unpacked. Happened down in San Jose. And they launched the new Galaxy S24 line of phones, as I guess they always do every year. They're always launching the latest models of that, and a surprise announcement as well, which we'll get to in a little bit. But what was interesting about this launch, Carmi, for me, and I think, you know, you probably feel the same way, it wasn't so much about the hardware anymore. It was about what they could do, and in this case, the AI integration into the smartphone.
We certainly saw a little bit of that at CES, where everything had AI infused in it. It's the year of the AI-powered laptop, and now with Samsung's Galaxy Unpacked event, they're telegraphing that it's the year of the AI-powered smartphone as well. And I mean, it's interesting because every year Samsung does this. They'll introduce a new version of their S-class phones, their flagship devices. And every year they get a little bit better. The screens get a little bit brighter. They throw a little bit more memory in. They tweak the battery. They tweak the camera. Everything about it is incrementally better than the year before, which is lovely if you're in the market for a new phone, but it's hardly the thing that gets the world to stop and pay attention. We're not going to see lineups around the block because of this. What does stand out here is the Galaxy AI announcement is that the hardware might be marginally better than before, but the software that powers it can do things that you simply couldn't do beforehand. And I think that's going to be the narrative going forward, is that you'll be able to live translate on your phone in real time. You won't have to open up an app in order to do it. Just as you're speaking with someone who's speaking a different language, the software can do that all on the device. And I think that's game changing, right? And all of the other features that they've built into Galaxy AI that will be available on the S24 line, and some will be available on earlier Samsung models as well. I think that points the smartphone market in a very different direction. People aren't excited by hardware increases every year. It's AI-powered software that's really going to change the way that we use our phones, the way we edit pictures, the way we take notes, the way we look for things. This is a really significant announcement, and I could arguably say thus far, probably one of the most significant tech announcements of the year.
Yeah, let's go through some of those AI features. I got to try out all of them down there. I got my hands on one of the phones as well to test out for the next couple weeks. The first one that I tested was the new Circle to Search with Google. And so this is going to be on all the S24 models, the three different ones. This is interesting. So if you're kind of surfing along on your phone, and it doesn't matter what app you're in, it could be your web browser, you could be in Netflix, by long pressing the home button on the phone, it'll trigger the Google Assistant. And then from there, you can basically circle whatever you want more information about. Maybe you're watching Emily in Paris and you want to know more about the purse she's carrying. You could basically circle that, and then Google will go out and find more information about that without you leaving that app that you're in, which was just fascinating. Another example was, you know, this donut, you know, that I came across on a web browser. I could circle it, and it told me everything about that donut and some of the restaurants that I could get it at.
Honey, if you look at the way we have all been using search for the better part of the last 25, 30 years, it really hasn't changed all that much. You open up a box, you type in some words, and you get some links back in return, and hopefully you've used the right search terms. That paradigm hasn't changed, even if the back-end technology has become far more effective. And so I think we missed that in some cases, it isn't convenient for us to be typing something. It isn't convenient for us to be stopping what we're doing while we're watching a movie and opening up a search box and typing in a search. It's highly disruptive and it doesn't work for a lot of us. And so this changes the very paradigm of search, changes how we use it, where we're going to use it, and the kind of results that we're going to get from it. It finally drags the interface for search into the modern era where, because it's been lagging behind for decades, hasn't changed at all. And I think this is really exciting. It makes search a lot more organic and it opens it up to people who maybe didn't necessarily think they were good, you know, effective Google jockeys, didn't think that they were really good at search. Well, now everybody can be really good at search because it's visual, it's powered by AI. And all you need to do is draw a circle around something and let the technology take care of the rest.
It really was transformative for me anyway, from a search functionality. Because, you know, like we're talking here, in the past, if you wanted to find something, you'd be in whatever app and then you'd have to go into another app to find that. So just having that just kind of built into the operating system, I thought was, you know, a step forward. Something that was super interesting that I got to try as well was Live Translate. And so this is running on the Samsung Galaxy S24 phone. And you can hear real-time translations and transcriptions of your conversations when you're on a phone call. So if I was phoning my Spanish friend and he was speaking in Spanish, right in the phone app itself, I could have the Live Translate turn on. And it would automatically translate everything we were saying back and forth, and that the person on the other end doesn't have to have a Galaxy phone. It would still have that that capability. So as I'm speaking, you know, we're seeing the transcription of that on the screen, and it then would translate that and talk to my friend in Spanish and vice versa. It really was kind of Star Trek-ish.
This is Star Trek's Universal Translator come to life. And I think this was the killer app, killer feature that blew my mind. I was looking at that going, wow, the future has finally come here. I watched the review videos just with my jaw on the floor. And I think this is transformative. How many times have we, you know, been in a place where we don't speak the language and we've tried to use an app to kind of figure our way around, maybe learn a few phrases here and there to flag down a taxi or get directions? But that isn't enough. It's not. The technology still gets in the way. There's still an app between us and the real world. And what Live Translation does is it removes that barrier. We don't have to install an app. We don't have to wrestle with the technology. We just have to speak. It does the rest. And that is the promise of technology, is it breaks down barriers between us and others and the world around us. And it's just fluid. It just kind of fades into the backgrounds. And I think this is just that if Galaxy AI did nothing else, if it all it did was Live Translation, then that would be more than enough for me, because that would be the one thing that I would need to buy this phone, download, make sure this capability is built into it, and never use anything else again. This will change the way people live.
I've tried, you know, different translation apps before, and they're getting really good, but this one was just smooth. You know, I tried it a few times. They actually had people, you know, we could phone and try it out. But it was just fast. And when they say real time, so basically you talk and within a few seconds, it translates. It's just like uber fast. And what I like too, there was another mode. Say, you know, for example, I was, you know, over in France or Quebec, I could have the phone with me, and on my side of the phone, I could have the transcription happening. And on the other side, you know, the person I'm talking to, they could see the transcription and obviously hear the voice as well. So they've really thought that through. And definitely, like you were saying, it really is almost one reason just to buy that phone in itself, especially if you're doing any traveling.
I think growing up in Quebec, you know, I'm fluently bilingual, but I grew up around a lot of people who weren't, and they struggled with employment. They struggled with education. They struggled with so many aspects of day-to-day life because they simply couldn't communicate with those around them. So this could be transformative for so many people, both here in Canada as well as elsewhere. And the fact that it isn't an app, I think, is really neat, that it built right into the operating system. And I think we're starting to see examples of that post-app reality where you don't have to download an app and make sure that everyone around you is using it. It's just baked right into the technology. And it doesn't matter who you're communicating with. It will work. For you and for them, And so your stakeholders, the folks that you're hanging around with, they don't have to be using the same technology as you do. They get to take advantage of the benefits too. And I love that. I call it democratization of technology. It opens it up to everybody. And we spend less time fiddling with that technology and more time actually enjoying the benefits of it. This is, to me, it's an absolutely good news story. Captain Picard and Captain Kirk would absolutely love this, because it isn't something that Gene Roddenberry just invented in his mind. This is something that now engineers have literally put into our hands.
Talking with Carmi Levy, we're discussing the new Samsung phones that they've just announced. It's their Galaxy S24 line, the S24, 24 Plus, and the Ultra. We are going to take a break. We've got so much more to talk about. We'll continue talking about some of these new AI features that are hard-baked into these new Samsung phones, features that'll just kind of blow you away. And later on in the program, we're going to be doing a bit of a last... CES roundup, some of the stuff that caught Carmi's eye. You're listening to Get Connected, back after this. You are back with Get Connected. Mike Agarbo here. I've got Carmi Levy with me as well. We will be talking about some of our last moment CES roundups in a bit, but just continuing the conversation about the new Samsung Galaxy phones that they launched this week, available at the end of the month, but you can pre-order them now. The Galaxy S24 line, three models, 24, 24 Plus, as you can imagine, it's bigger, and the S24 Ultra, that's the granddaddy of them all. It's got the S Pen. This is a little stylus that pops out the bottom, so you can use it for taking notes. A lot of people are very, in tune with that particular phone. They love that stylus. The big story, again, that we're discussing is not so much the hardware, you know, the processor in it or how much better the camera is, but the AI features built into them. And just kind of continuing that, there was another feature here, Carmi, that was pretty cool, called Transcript Assist. And so this is a feature as well that basically you could use your voice, use the voice recorder built into the phone, and it would transcribe everything for you, summarize it as well. It's pretty cool. I could see this really great for meetings and also for students as well.
I've used an app called Otter.ai for a while that kind of does the same thing, but you know, from the demos that I've seen, this is even better. And that's one of those game-changing features for anyone who works like we do in media, or anyone who works in an office and attends a lot of meetings but wants to keep track of what's going on. I type fairly quickly, so when I'm in a meeting, I tend to take copious notes. But an app capability like this frees me from that, and it literally creates the transcript as we go along, and then it guides me to do something with that transcript. It helps me arrange my notes afterward. It identifies action items. It intelligently goes through what people are saying and suggests things that I might want to do with it afterward. That, to me, is almost like an intelligent assistant standing on my shoulder, keeping track of what everyone is saying and making sure that I stay on task. That is as Star Trekian, Star Warsian, insert any sci-fi analogy you can imagine here. And it really is tomorrow coming to us today. I've been begging for that for years, because think of all of the time that we spend transcribing notes, that we spend listening to recordings, trying to listen and catch the things that matter most. What did they say? What do I need to remember? Taking notes in class and, you know, not missing what the prof is saying. This will be transformative to a lot of people who maybe aren't so good at taking notes, or maybe they are. They just don't want to be spending hours every day engaged in the grunt work and the administrative work of taking notes and then trying to make something of them. This is another one of those incredibly freeing technologies that we didn't realize we wanted until it was shown to us right in front of us.
It was pretty cool, because the voice recognition was excellent. And then on top of that, when it was transcribing it into text, afterwards, you could even have it format it in different ways, you know, the summary aspect of it. And the summaries it did with the notes, they were really good. Like, it would save so much time, Carmi. You know what I mean? Like, having, if you're just taking notes yourself, and I'm not the best note taker in the world, but this would blow me away.
It gets a lot of negative publicity because of the threat of human extinction and taking away jobs and copyright infringement, intellectual property and all that. And of course, those are still concerns. We should still be concerned about them. We should still be talking about them. But capabilities like this, when AI is applied to a specific scenario, a particular use case, it can really make a difference. And in this case, AI is making all of that analysis of what's being said very precise. In other words, you can trust that it's getting the notes written, it's accurately taking the notes. You can trust that it's accurately summarizing what has been said. So you don't spend as much time second guessing the technology. You spend more time interacting with the content, which is really the whole point of going to a meeting. That sometimes I'm so busy taking notes and formatting them and playing with them as the meeting is going on that I kind of miss the spirit of what's happening in the conversation and I'm not heavily participating in it. Thanks to artificial intelligence, that frees us from the drudge work because I now trust that the AI can take over that part of the process for me so that I can focus on much more value-added things like, you know, being part of the conversation, brainstorming, suggesting things, and actually being engaged in the meeting instead of with my head down and my keyboard. So this will change the way meetings happen. This might add value to meetings. I think people will look forward to them a little bit more. Students in class, this will be transformative to them. My kids, we were talking about it at the kitchen table last night. They are really looking forward. In fact, my son said he's a diehard iPhone kid, but he said he would buy this phone with this capability just for that, because it would transform the way that he learns. And for my kid to say that, that's pretty special. He's been using iPhones for years.
Another feature was Chat Assist as well, and this works in conjunction with your messaging, and it can actually, you know, when you type out a message, it can suggest alternative versions of that message depending what kind of tone you're looking for as well. Getting over to the camera aspect, of course, they've got amazing cameras. The Ultra, I think, has got four cameras built into it, up to 200 megapixels. Which is just insane to me. But some of the AI features, they've got generative edits. You can easily go in and edit some of these photos. It was just really amazing to me what you could do. Like in the past, if you wanted to like erase trees or people, it was difficult. You had to know how to use programs like Photoshop. But here you could basically circle a tree and just make it disappear. Or if you wanted the player that was trying to shoot a hoop in a basketball game, you could circle him and make him up higher near the actual basket. It just was happening instantly. And they also had a slow motion feature as well. Basically, you could take the video, then watch it back, and then just hold your finger on the segment of the video that you wanted slow motion, and it would automatically do it for you as well. CES just wrapped up last week. That's the big show down in Las Vegas where they announce all the latest and greatest tech for the year. Carmi, I had a chance to go down there. It was really cool. It was kind of back. You know, it's the pandemic really took a good chunk out of it, but it looks like people have got their mojo back.
You're glad to see the show floor filled again, the numbers coming back up to pre-pandemic highs. That buzz around being in the same room with lots of other people who are passionate about technology. You know, for years, we've been seeing a lot of the other big shows gradually shuttering, while CES is kind of like the last one standing. And even though they had to cancel in 2021, and then, of course, 2022 was virtual, it's good to see that this, at some point, you can only watch so many YouTube videos and demos. At some point, you've got to get on a plane, go to Vegas, and just hang out with 130,000 of your closest friends to see what the biggest news and technology this year is going to be. And I'm really glad that that is still a thing. I'm glad we still have CES. I'm glad we still have a reason for a week in January, the coldest month of the year, for everyone to just get excited about what's coming up. You simply can't replicate that in the digital space. And I think this year kind of showed we're definitely back, baby. And it's good to know and good to see. And I'm hoping that other shows sort of follow that lead and continue to invest in the in-person experience, because we don't speak about that as much as we should in the tech space. It matters a lot more than we would think it would.
Let's dig into some of the tech and some of the issues that it might be causing as well. AI, definitely a big theme of the show, really kind of integrating itself into all forms of technology, including cooking technology as well, Carmi.
if you didn't have AI in your messaging at this year's CES, you probably shouldn't have been at CES to begin with. So, for example, there was something called the Artly. Basically, it's a barista bot, which, unlike other bots that we've seen in the restaurant space in the past, this one doesn't replace the machines in a traditional coffee shop. What it does is it enhances them. It's an arm that stands in front of a traditional machine, and it learns using artificial intelligence and machine vision and machine learning from a human analog. And then it basically replicates the process of making the perfect cup of coffee right down to the perfect latte foam on top. You know, the art, it actually does that better than a human can. And so, you know, they're saying that it's already in a whole bunch of coffee shops in California and on the U.S. West Coast. And they're looking to expand that beyond basically taking AI and bringing it in a much more cost-effective way to a coffee shop near you. That doesn't come without its own set of controversy. The Culinary Workers Union, for example, they were threatening to strike at CES because they are concerned about technology like this taking jobs from humans. This, of course, in the wake of the writers and actors strike in the U.S., where, you know, AI was the central issue over the technology replacing a creative work like this. And so they're renegotiating a 5-year contract, and they are negotiating to have AI provisions built right into the contract to ensure that technologies like the Artly don't replace them anytime soon. So yeah, the technology can give us a better cup of coffee, but can it make our barista go away? The question is still unanswered here. And that was on display at CES this year. It was exciting to see. And unfortunately, it's a conversation and a controversy that are probably going to continue for years to come as the technology continues to get even better.
Yeah, that is interesting that, you know, technology kind of spilled into that labor dispute. And that was one of the major sticking points as well. And the union was actually, taking a pay cut in order to get other provisions in their contracts to protect their workers in case AI took their jobs in the future. And they will, Carmi, they will. It remains to be seen what that all looks like, but hopefully there will be other jobs that spring out of that to look after the machines, essentially.
I think that's what technology does, right? It is, by its very nature, disruptive. We've seen previous waves of revolutionary technology make obsolete entire categories of jobs, but at the same time, they've created new ones that didn't exist before. So that's certainly the hope, is that, you know, you'll have more and better jobs created that replace the ones that AI renders obsolete, and at the same time, that you have the right kinds of education, programming, training, government supports, things like that, to allow workers whose jobs have been affected by AI to gradually segue into what those future jobs will be. Because it isn't enough to simply create jobs to replace the pre-existing ones that are being obsoleted. You've got to make sure that you're moving the people who've been affected into those new roles, making sure that they are ready, in fact, to take on those new roles. And as we've seen also previously, government, society, companies don't always invest as much in that part of the technology revolution as they should.
Let's talk robots, Carmi. Robots are always a major part of the show as well. Last week I talked about Samsung. We had their Bali, which is a robot ball that rolls around your home. LG also had a smart robot as well. Some of the interesting things, elder care was a huge topic there. There was an elder care robot as well on display.
Comes to us from a company called Intuition Robotics. It's known as the LEQ. It's been around for a couple of years, but they showed an upgraded version of it this year. And basically what it does is it engages with residents of, for example, a long-term care home to focus on their cognitive development. So promoting cognitive and social wellness. Allowing them to maybe compose a poem or paint or do something that keeps their brain sharp. So it isn't necessarily just about the physical aspects of elder care, but it's about the mental and cognitive aspects of elder care as well, to make sure that you're not just surviving, but you're living a rich life. And I think that's important because even if you're not in a long-term care facility, these are benefits that even, children of of parents who are living on their own might want to consider bringing into the home. And I think this opens up a whole new kind of a chapter in elder care, where we think of it somewhat differently, that there are all sorts of technologies at various levels to allow people to live their best lives, no matter how old they might be.
I have to give out a plug to myself, Carmi. I've worked with TELUS recently to create a series of caregiver videos using technology. It's up on the TELUS Caregivers YouTube channel right now. So everything on using digital assistants like Amazon Alexa to help care for elderly loved ones, and so much more. It was a lot of fun to do these videos, but a great opportunity to use tech to keep connected with things like Facebook Messenger and also FaceTime. You know, no matter where you are, you can still be like an integral part of looking after family members, your parents. And again, check out the TELUS Caregivers YouTube channel, and we'll get a link up there as well so that people can check it out. Another interesting product, Carmi, a smart belt, kind of turns folks into, I guess, a cyborg. This one is aimed at the visually impaired.
Yeah, it's called the Guidee, and basically it's an AI smart belt. It uses artificial intelligence that allows an individual to navigate without the use of the internet or GPS. And we know this is important. You don't always have connectivity when you're moving about, and you certainly can't always see a GPS signal. So it's got cameras, it's got edge detectors, it uses haptic feedback, it takes voice commands, and it has a mobile app to allow someone with a visual impairment to navigate a space without worrying that they don't know where they are. Absolutely crucial tool to ensure independence, because as we know, existing technologies often rely on GPS or internet connectivity, which of course, when you lose that, you lose the capability. Which of course can you know, mean that if you're trying to independently navigate multiple landscapes, you can't, whereas with Guidee, you absolutely can, and it'll work anywhere under any circumstances, whether or not there's a signal. And I think that's a game changer. We don't tend to think about that. You know, we lose all bars on our phone. It doesn't stop us from doing what we do, but when you're visually impaired, it absolutely can. This leapfrogs that and ensures that you can stay independent no matter where you are.
I loved a lot of the accessibility tech that I saw there. You know, another one was an app that could do sign language translation in real time as well. So if you're talking with someone that can only sign, this was a great opportunity to, you know, really open up that communication with them as well. We're talking about some of the cool technologies that were down at the Consumer Electronics Show last week, just kind of doing a bit of a wrap up there. When we come back, we've got a few more goodies to chat about, a smart pillow, also a technology to understand what your baby is crying about. We've talked about it before on the program, but it's getting better and better. You're listening to Get Connected. We'll be back right after this. You are back with Get Connected. Mike here with Carmi Levy. Talking about our CES wrap-up, it just ended last week, but obviously there's just so much to talk about. I wanted to, you know, have a few more moments to kind of live through the glory. One of the items, Carmi, I guess a smart pillow. Do we need a smart pillow?
Well, I think we do. Anyone who snores, and disclosure, I do, much to my wife's chagrin. So, you know, there are apps that can detect your snoring and can kind of map it over the, you know, the course of a night's sleep to kind of help you understand when you snored, you know, what your state of sleep was. But I guess the common factor among all of them is they can track your snoring. They can't do anything about it. And so this is it's a sleep pillow. It's called the Motion Sleep Motion Pillow. And basically what it does is it uses airbags that are connected to the app, and it uses artificial intelligence to track your snoring. And then as it detects certain types of snoring, it'll actually shift your head position by either inflating or uninflating those airbags. And so it'll change the shape of the pillow to basically force you to roll over, roll onto your side, or whatever it is, so that you'll stop snoring and you'll have better sleep. And hopefully whoever you're sleeping with, they'll have better sleep too. So it gives you all the data, it gives you all of those insights, but also actually does something about it in near real time, so that you stop snoring and you don't wake up exhausted. Stuff like this, we don't put a whole lot of importance on sleep health, but the reality is it deserves a lot more attention because it has impacts on so many other aspects of our more broad sort of health state. And if we can take care of the snoring with something like this, well, then, we'll have better outcomes in every other aspect of our health too.
Let's get into baby crying. We've actually covered technology in the past that could determine why your baby is crying. I know a lot of parents, concerned about that. You know, if the baby keeps crying, I've had three kids, and it's a lot. There's an app called Capella, and it's an AI powered phone app, and they say it's capable of translating a baby's cries within 95% accuracy. I don't know how you scientifically determine that, Carmi, but I'm interested. I am interested.
Oh yeah. And having raised three kids as well, and wishing that I'd had technology like this when they were this age, they're in their 20s now, this could be a game changer as well for beleaguered parents who just want to go to sleep. Artificial intelligence allows the app to be trained on a very large set of data. So, lots of audio content of babies crying, and then correlating that to figure out whether are they hungry, are they just not comfortable, are they tired, does their diaper need to change, whatever that is. They say 95%. Again, I have no way of independently verifying that, but if they're making that claim, it's certainly a lot better than anything that I've seen previously. I think it's a really good example of how AI can take something that's been around for a while. We've seen apps before that claim to listen to your baby and sort of diagnose what they're thinking, listen to their cries, listen to their sounds, but they've never been AI based before. And so what AI does is it listens to ever larger data sets, is better trained. It looks at the subtleties in the data. It draws connections and parallels and analogies within the data that conventional non-AI technologies simply can't do. And so I think this is, we're going to see more of this. We're going to see more sort of watching, listening, being in tune with the world around us, and then using that to gain insight. And that 95% accuracy, at some point it will be borne out by research, and at some point it'll trend even closer to 100%. It's inevitable. Kind of freaky that, baby translator that we've seen in science fiction, well, that science fiction's about to become science reality. Wish I had that one, Arkin.
I could make a baby translator and say it's 100% accurate. You could never tell, right?
As long as it lets me get back to sleep, I'm happy.
Yeah. Can't guarantee you'll stop. The baby will stop crying after you do whatever it tells you to do. But let's get into some of the mobile technology innovations. CES is one of the biggest car shows out there now, which is fascinating. They've, got an entire hall just dedicated to, all the car manufacturers. BMW is always at the forefront of that. What did you see that caught your eye this time, Carmi?
So we're seeing in-car augmented reality with BMW. We've all seen vehicles with head-up displays, but now you've got augmented reality content being displayed on that head-up display that kind of immerses you in the environment around you. So mapping data, location data on, the address that you're looking for, instead of having to look down into a screen and pulling up an app to figure out, where am I going to park and, what do I need? What kind of payment information do I need once I get there? Augmented reality essentially displays it in three-dimensional space as you're driving through. And it's all seamless. You're not playing with the technology. It's serving it up as you're driving. I think that's remarkable. And it changes the nature of how we interact with the world around us. We've seen lots of examples with smart glasses. Of course, Apple is about to introduce the Vision Pro. But we're not going to be driving around wearing Vision Pros on our heads, but we do want to be driving cars that have that capability built right into the windshield. And BMW is really pointing us in that direction. Mercedes-Benz, of course, introducing new versions of its in-car assistant as well. AI powered, just say hello, Mercedes, and off you go. Cloud connected, some controversy about how much you're going to pay for that over the life of the car, but whatever it costs, they're partnering with Google. They're building apps and capabilities that are baked right into the car. And they're basically saying, if you're buying a car, increasingly, it's not going to be differentiated by the engine or the how much horsepower it puts out. It's going to be differentiated by the kinds of services, AI-powered services, that are incorporated directly into the vehicle. And Mercedes wants to be leading that as well.
The flying cars. Every year they show off another flying car, and we just haven't seen the flying cars yet, but it looks like Hyundai is trying to make that a reality.
They've got an urban air mobility subsidiary known as Supernal. And a couple of years ago, they displayed something called the SA1. It wasn't flying. It was just sitting on the show floor. This year, they brought the SA2. It's an update to it. It's an electric vertical takeoff and landing, or eVTOL vehicle. And they're planning on starting test flights next year. And they're saying they're aiming for commercial availability in 2028. I always take that with a grain of salt. It's like I grew up watching reruns of the Jetsons, and I still haven't seen my flying car. This one, though, is a little bit different than what we've seen before, because they're not promising that it's going to be a vehicle that you and I own. In other words, we're not getting George Jetson's vehicle in our driveway in the sky. Instead, this is going to be a shared mobility vehicle. So think like an aerial taxi that you access at a shared port, or an eVTOL port. So you go to this place. A bunch of other passengers get on, kind of like a high-tech flying version of Uber, and these shared vehicles take you from one place to another. So, you know, 4 years from now, maybe. But again, I've heard this story before. But the fact that Hyundai is actually saying we are going to start test flying this next year means we're a little bit closer than we were before. Maybe that gap is starting to get a little bit narrower. The grain of salt that I've been taking all of these pieces of news with over the years, it's getting a little bit smaller. I think we're finally starting to move in the right direction.
But can they get the price down to be affordable for these flying taxis? And aren't they just kind of helicopters?
Probably not.
Aren't they helicopters?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think we're going to be buying them, because in order to, you know, think of all the engineering that has to be built into it, the fail safes, that, you know, for the sort of just for safety, right? It's one thing if your car breaks down on the side of the road. It's quite another if your air vehicle breaks down at, you know, a couple thousand feet in the air. So the engineering has to be on a whole other level. So you are talking hundreds of thousands into the millions of dollars. So significantly more, order of magnitude more than a traditional car. And also there's the regulatory aspect, right? This is something that is here in Canada, Transport Canada is going to have to regulate. We'll need updates to the air traffic control infrastructure. There are, you know, infrastructure issues around getting air vehicles going that we haven't even begun to have the conversations yet. So companies like Hyundai might potentially figure out the engineering over the next 4 years. But as a country, we're not even ready for that. We've been trying to get delivery drones going for the better part of a decade, and we're still not quite there yet because of the regulatory roadblocks. Now you're going to put people on them. So I think that might take longer than developing the technology, and I'm not going to be holding my breath on that.
We've been talking with Carmi Levy today. Some of the cool stuff we talked about, Samsung's launched their new Galaxy S24 line of phones. They're available for pre-order now, and I think available in your hands by the end of the month. And I think a real breakthrough as far as smartphone technology, not really focusing on the hardware, but the AI features, which are pretty, pretty cool. And of course, our CES roundup. As always, visit our website, getconnectedmedia.com. We've got lots of great content up there. And of course, you can subscribe to the podcast as well. I want to thank Carmi for joining me. This is Mike and Carmi logging off. We will see you again next time.